Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her Bible study on the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is such a practical book of the Bible filled with some of the most important lessons of our faith. Guiding us through Ephesians, Joyce will help us learn all about who we are in Christ and how to behave as His followers. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
I want you to do something tonight as you hear the word. I want you to believe for healing while you're listening to the word. Psalm 107:20 says He sends His word and He heals them. And He delivers them from the pit and from destruction. And I believe that there's healing power in the Word of God. I believe that. So if you have anything physically wrong with you, or even if you need an emotional healing, whatever area of your life where you need healing, believe that the power of God's Word and the anointing in this room can bring healing to you. And things can change for you while you're sitting right there in that chair. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, let me ask, how many of you, this is your first session to be here in the conference? Okay, well, you've just missed a lot of great stuff, but we're so glad that you're here with us tonight. And since you haven't been here before, I have to take about 2 or 3 minutes and kind of bring you up to speed. I'm attempting to teach the entire book of Ephesians this weekend. And last night, I did a recap on 1 and 2 because I've already done that in my TV studio, taught chapter 3. The first 3 chapters of Ephesians are all about relationship with God. He loves you. You're saved by grace. Know who you are in Christ. All the in Him promises. In Him we're redeemed. In Him we're set free. In Him we're sanctified. In Him, in Him, in Him. And it's so important to know who you are in Him and know the difference between who you are just by yourself and in yourself, and who you are in Him as a new creature in Christ. So many wonderful things in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And then the whole kind of mood of the book changes, and it goes, the last 3 chapters are all about behavior. And actually, 1, 2, and 3 are about how much God loves us. And then all of a sudden, verse 4 says, therefore, because of how much He loves us, this is how we need to behave. And so this morning we had a good lesson on behavior. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, I found 16 different behaviors that God said we either need to have or not have. We're going to finish 4 tonight and get as far as we can in 5. And then tomorrow we're going to finish up in chapter 6. How many of you enjoyed hearing this morning about behavior? You know what? I could tell that you did, and as a teacher of God's Word, that just makes me so happy when people can take the meat of the Word and you don't always just have to give them dessert to keep them happy. Amen? And really, to be honest, talking to you about your relationship with God and how much He loves you and, you know, the future you have in Him and all those things, that's vitally necessary, but everybody likes to hear that. Everybody loves to hear that. There's nobody here that doesn't like to hear how much God loves you and that He loves you unconditionally, that He's never going to stop loving you, and on and on and on, that He's merciful, that He's forgiving, that He's gracious, and all those things. And we need that. My goodness, we need a lot of that. But we also need to be taught how to behave. And we need to realize that our behavior is not only important to us, but it's important for the glorification of God in the earth. We're supposed to live to glorify Him, and the word glory means the manifestation of all the excellencies of God. So if I'm going to bring glory to God, that means my behavior needs to be excellent, not mediocre, not lukewarm, but excellent. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's just not a lot of excellence left in our world today. It's challenging to find people that really do a quality job. It's difficult to find people that really tell the truth, no matter what it's going to cost them. We need to be people that are excellent, people who always go the extra mile and do a little bit more than we would have to. And we don't have to do it to get God to love us. We need to do it in response to how much He already loves us. Amen? So, this morning I was very pleased at the end of the service. I said, how many of you are convicted by this, that you need to make a deeper commitment to Christ and start dealing with some of these issues in your life, and about 85% of the people stood up. And I thought that was awesome. You know, that's a move of God. When you can get 85% of Christians to stand up and admit they're living kind of compromising, lukewarm lives, and they want to really get serious about God and go all the way with God. How many of you want to go all the way with God? I hope you didn't come here tonight just to be entertained. I hope you didn't come tonight just to see what I look like in real life. And if you did, we've got that part over with, and so now we can get down to God's business. Amen? So, I appreciate you coming tonight. Father, we thank you for the word, and we trust you to do a mighty work in each and every one of us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. When you're angry, do not sin. Please notice it doesn't say never get angry. It's not the feeling of anger that's sin. It's what we do with that feeling after we feel it. If somebody comes and is rude to you, the first thing you're probably going to feel is anger. Well, before Christ, or actually I was already saved, but before I knew the importance of really obeying God, if I felt like being angry and shutting somebody out of my life and telling them off, that's exactly what I did. But people who are going to go all the way with God, listen to me, you don't have the privilege of doing what you feel like doing. That's not an option for us. The world can do that. They can do what they want, think, and feel. But we don't get to do that. We have the fruit of self-control, and we can say no to ourselves and yes to God. And in the beginning, it's a lot harder than it is later on when you've had some practice. The longer you walk with God, the easier it is to not fight with him, because you find out that he's going to get his way in the long run anyway. And it just saves you a lot of time to do it his way first. When you're angry, don't sin. Don't ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or your indignation last until the sun goes down. So he's saying, don't go to bed mad. I wonder if I ask how many of you went to bed mad last night, what kind of a response I'd get. Well, you're looking really innocent out there. Looking around to see if anybody's putting their hand up, because it's certainly not you. You know what? The way you go to bed is the way you're going to get up. And you don't want to keep that cycle going in your life. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Anger opens a door for the devil in our lives. Amen. How many of you want your life to be really radically blessed? Okay, then you have to stop staying mad. Well, let's try it again. How many of you want your life to be radically blessed? Well, then you have to stop staying mad. I'm not going to tell you to never get angry, because we all have times where we get angry. But you don't have to stay that way. With God's help and a good firm decision and the power of the Holy Ghost, you can be peaceful all the time in your life. What good is it going to do you to stay mad at people that are out enjoying their life and don't even care that you're upset? Your anger is not going to change them, but your anger will change you. And let me tell you something, if the truth were known, there's probably more people in this room tonight that are mad at somebody than those that are not. And some of you have had it in you so long, you don't even know it's there anymore, but it's still eating away at you. And so I want to suggest to you that you leave it here tonight and not take it home with you. Now, I'm not going to teach on this a long time tonight, because I teach on this a lot and I've got a lot of stuff to cover. So let's go on to verse 28 and 29. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Now, I thought that was pretty interesting. He's saying, look, if he used to be somebody who was stealing stuff, and really this, you know, whether you were a thief or not, the same principle works. Don't steal anymore, he says, but go get a job so you can give to other people. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say get a job so you can take care of yourself and stop stealing? He says get a job so you can give to other people. I think that's really kind of a thought to ponder. It's like, am I really just working so I can give to other people? Well, you know what? If we believe the word, if we give to other people, God will take care of us. Let me tell you something. If you've got an attitude about giving that is anything other than I'm excited about it and I love to do it, then you need to really study the Bible, because it's from Genesis to Revelation. And there's no way that we can get away from what God says about giving. And if we love him, we're going to want to give. But this to me is a very interesting scripture. Go get a job so you can give to other people. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't use a lot of the money that we make to take care of ourselves. But the motivation here has to be, I'm going to give. I'm going to work, and I'm going to work hard so I can give. Well, a lot of people today don't even want to work, period, let alone work to give to other people. Now, here we go. Get ready. Here comes all the mouth stuff. How many of you, your mouth gets you in trouble? I tell you what, I've done so much teaching on the mouth and written so many books on the mouth, and it's because I needed a lot of help. You know, my gift is in my mouth, but it's also been my greatest problem. But you know, God's really changed me in that area. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Don't ever say anything to anybody that's going to tear them down. Only say things to them that are going to edify them and build them up and make them feel better about themselves. Amen? As is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it might be a blessing and give grace to those who hear it. Proverbs 18:21. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And those who indulge it will eat the fruit of it, whether for life or death. So, tell the person next to you, you're going to eat your words. All right. Lord Jesus, help us with our mouths. Can anybody say amen to that prayer? Lord Jesus, help us with our mouths. My, my. You know, the Amplified Bible, when it talks about sin, it talks about forgiveness for our sins in thought, word, and deed. So we not only sin with our deeds, but to be honest, the things that we do wrong start in our mind. And then our mouth gets involved, and then we complete the process and really get ourselves in trouble. No man can tame the tongue. Bible says no man can tame the tongue. We need a lot of help. Lord, put a guard over my mouth, lest I sin against you with my tongue. Help me, Lord, to say nothing if I can't say something that's going to have life in it. Now, verses 30, says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Wow. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, and branded as God's own and secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin.
When we study the Bible, God connects with us through his Holy Spirit. He shows us how much he loves us and who we are in him. That's why Joyce chose to offer this extensive Bible teaching on a single book from God's Word, Ephesians. Ephesians is a relatively short book, but it's packed with important lessons on faith. We must have a solid foundation of who we are in Christ before dealing with how we should and shouldn't behave as his followers. Thank you for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Your partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries allows us to share the love of Christ around the world.